Talk with Al Harris. Let's Talk, a public affairs program of KUGR Radio. And now, here's the host of Let's Talk, Al Harris.
Good morning and welcome to today's edition of Let's Talk. Our topic of discussion this morning is ambulance service and its future in Sweetwater County. My guest is a Sweetwater County Commissioner, also serving on a special committee or task force addressing the funding problems associated with the ambulance service in Sweetwater County. Please welcome to our show this morning, Commissioner Jeff Smith. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning to you, Al. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we look forward to the opportunity to discuss this very important issue with you this morning. And in terms of doing that, just as a background, I'll try to keep this very, very short. But early in the month, the county commissioners announced that they were going to discontinue the contracts with the ambulance service providers. And as of the end of the month, and at that point, one of those providers, Sweetwater Medics, indicated they would no longer be able to respond after the 1st of April. There was a special meeting held yesterday following meetings with both cities, and the commissioners decided to go ahead and fund ambulance service through the end of the fiscal year. Does that bring us up to date, Jeff?
Pretty close. It was December, middle of December, our second meeting, so I think the 15th of December that we terminated the contracts with the two ambulance services. So it's been a little bit longer, and
okay.
We hope that the cities would come along in that amount of time, but they haven't been able to yet.
So what is the significance of the action that was taken yesterday?
Well, the significance of that is that there will continue to be funding for Sweetwater Medics and for Castle Rock, and that Sweetwater Medics will continue to answer 911 calls April 1st through June 30th. And Ron Gaddy at our meeting yesterday was hoping that we would be able to do something longer term. It's been difficult, understandably, on his staff, and with uncertainty, are we going to continue to have jobs? What's going on? And I can completely understand that. But really, we're just going back to the contract we had, and this 5-year contract was up this year anyway. And so we asked both entities to just come back through the regular budgeting process as they normally would have, and we'll work through the funding for the upcoming however long that may be.
When does the contract expire?
It expires June 30th.
Of this year?
Of this year, yeah, because the county and the cities, our financial year will start on July 1st. And so we're working through our budgeting process now with all the entities. And so this would just, now we've really just gone back to the regular standard procedure of where we're at. I know it's a little disheartening maybe for Sweetwater Medics and their staff that we didn't agree to a 2-year contract with them that they proposed, but we are saying, hey, just let's go back to the way it was and work through the regular budgeting process and we'll do it that way. But Castle Rock was a little different because they felt like they had enough funding on hand to go 9 months without any funding from the county at all. So they were not in threat of stopping their ambulance service or 911 service in Green River.
Was it unusual for the county to end a contract prior to the expiration?
I would say unusual, probably. It was a 5-year contract, and that seems to have been much too long. That circumstances have changed, the environment has changed with healthcare, ambulance, COVID, so many other things. And so, I'll just say that Sweetwater Medics did the similar thing to us a year ago when they came to us and said, we need a 36% increase in our subsidy from the county, up to $944,000 this coming year, or we're going to have to stop service, cancel the contract, which was in their right as well. They could cancel it. So not that it makes it right, but they didn't actually cancel it because we gave them what they asked for. But, yeah, I would say it's not common for it to happen, but 5 years appears to have been too long in this contract with just the way the environments have changed and funding and the financial situation of both entities. It made it a little too difficult for them to get to the five-year mark with the way it was set up previously.
The fact that the contract ran through the end of the fiscal year, can I assume that the money was budgeted for that already?
Correct. Yep, money's budgeted, and so we are, you know, it's not as though we have to dig out of the general fund or our reserves or anything like that. It was already budgeted in this fiscal year budget, so not a problem to continue funding with them.
So, Jeff, if it was an unusual move, the money was already there to pay for it. Was this simply a way to get somebody's attention?
I don't know about simply. That was part of the reason. We certainly wanted it to be talked about, and it needs to be fixed. It's unsustainable the way that it is. Financing a private company is Sweetwater Medics, and I will say, I mean, you know, I work at Deer Trail Assisted Living. We have the medics over all the time with my folks. They do wonderful work, and we are very, very happy to have them there. And I don't know, you know, they're doing a good job. It's just the continued way that insurance reimburses and things happen, their expenses just continue to go up and up and up. And so for a government entity to fund a private company is strange. You know, I've been affected at Deer Trail by COVID. We provide what I think is, you know, maybe not quite as essential or life-threatening a service, but we provide a service to the county, the residents of Sweetwater County. I can't go to the commission and say, you know, I lost $500,000 last year. I'd sure like you guys to reimburse me for that or pay me so that I can stay in business this next year. It's just a strange situation that was agreed to many years ago, and we need to find a long-term funding solution, and we need to also reduce costs. And so the funding solutions that have been talked about most commonly would be creating a special tax district that would include both of the entities, Green River and Rock Springs, but we can't get that on the ballot until November of 2022 for the voters to have a say on that. And so consolidation, we've done two separate studies with a company that helps us to evaluate ways that we can make it less expensive or maybe even profitable, at least break even kind of spot. And that's really the goal, is trying to make sure that we're spending the taxpayers' money in the best way possible.
All right, let me ask you. I mean, we're 1 week away from the drop-dead date. And maybe that's a poor choice of words for the ambulance
maybe,
service.
Maybe, yeah.
1 week away, and the commissioners reversed themselves. Did you ever intend to let ambulance service stop the 1st of April?
We as a commission did not want to have a single day go by without ambulance service.
But I mean, from the very beginning, was it your intention at the last minute to say, okay, I've got your attention, here, we'll finish the contract?
No. Our intention was to have the cities on board. We felt as though in our letter to the cities that we presented to them, we said that if they would commit to finding funding or commit to looking at funding in the new budget year starting July 1st, that the commission would continue to fund through this budget year, knowing that they hadn't budgeted for it, and that was a huge ask, especially in these times of COVID and the economic downturn. So that was too much of an ask. And so we said, we will continue to fund through June 30th as long as you promise to be partners with us and do your best to come up with funding in your next budget year. And both cities have said, they said they don't have funding now. They'd like more time to look at it. And so that's where we're at. We're saying, okay, that's, you know, we'll take that at face value and hope that you'll come along for the ride and help us find a solution to funding that's a little bit better.
both cities were fairly critical of the commission in terms of the way they handled it. Your response to that?
Well, I trying to be diplomatic. I think that some of the criticism is unwarranted because it's the things to say that this was dropped in our lap here with 5 weeks to go or something like that is not true. We canceled it back in December. We also formed a committee in January, which included representatives from both cities to study this issue and to talk about it. The communication back to the city councils from that committee by their representatives may have been lackluster or not gotten the point across of what exactly was happening. And I left that to them. That's their responsibility to talk with their councils, and my responsibility to talk with my commission. And so just, you know, that's disappointing if they feel as though they had no idea this was happening.
From the public's point of view, Jeff, so what it boils down to is we've had 3 months and we've gotten nowhere, and now we've got 3 months more.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
Because we have more people at the table talking about solutions now than we have for a long, long time.
Are we closer to a solution?
We are, yes. We are, and whether that's... So, like I say, there's two problems, really. It's how can we reduce the overall cost, and then where does the funding come from? And so that special tax district seems to be the most popular. It's the most steady because commissioners, councilors come and go. And perhaps, you know, next term I'm not there, and somebody else doesn't want to fund the ambulance. And so it makes it really hard for people to do business. And so having a steady income, a source of revenue is great. And then trying to reduce it. Consolidation seems to be a good way to do it. There's been talk of the hospital. So we have some options out there, places that we can look to try to reduce the overall cost and then also get a steady revenue source going. And yeah, I think that it doesn't look all that great probably in the public eye, like nothing's really happened, but people who've been involved with this for years and years, much longer than me, have said this is the most movement we've had on this in 13 years. It's the most progress we've made. And so I'm happy about that. And
Let's talk about the funding for a minute. In the funding formula that was put out to the cities, it occurs to me that there was an effort being made to put fairness into whatever funding formula you came up with.
Correct.
And is that still a part of the goal?
Yes. You know, it just seems strange that the county by itself was 100% funding those two entities with their annual subsidies. And so just trying to get the cities to engage in conversation and participate and, you know, be at the table to come up with ideas of funding, participate themselves. That's really what we were looking for.
Okay.
We have that now.
In terms of looking at that, Jeff, and because the boundaries are not simple to talk about, I'm just going to put them in rough terms.
Sure.
The folks that live in school district number 2 approximate the hospital district.
Fairly
which
close,
means
yeah.
The folks in school district number 2 are already paying for ambulance service through a taxing district to the tune of about $1 million a year. How will that be added into a fairness formula when it comes to figuring out who pays what?
Yeah, that is an excellent question that is difficult to answer. I will say it's not quite like that. The Castle Rock Hospital District is, the taxes paid to that are paid to the district. There's no mandate that they have ambulance. It's a service that they've chosen to provide. And it's much like the convalescent home was. That wasn't mandated. They collected taxes for it. And the tax didn't reduce once it was sold and became private. If the ambulance were to be taken over by somebody else, that's not going to reduce the tax that Castle Rock Hospital District collects.
I understand that. However, about $1 million of that tax is being used to provide ambulance service, one of the two providers.
Yes.
It would seem to me that somehow there has to be a credit for that into any fairness formula of who pays what. I mean, I'm paying the tax.
I agree. Totally agree. And we'll have to look at that. The subsidy.
But it hasn't been looked at yet, right?
Oh, no, it has been. It has been.
Well, how did it figure into the last formula?
As a one-third, two-third?
Yes.
Split. That's the way that it, that's the way that it came out.
But wait a minute. But how did that $1 million fit in there? You see, the county's not paying for all the ambulance service.
No, it's not. It's subsidizing both, but it's not paying for all. Not at all.
And who subsidizes the other ambulance service besides the county?
Nobody. It is a private.
How can it be an apples and apples thing when one provider is being subsidized by property tax, one is not, one's being totally subsidized by the county, one is not? That seems to, on the surface, be unfair.
Okay, well, the way, if you flip it around, look at it the other way, the way I look at it is we are providing money, and that's what we look at. $944,000 a year to medics, and $380,000 to the hospital district. So that's the way that I look at, okay, that even though you're paying taxes, you still need $380,000 to make your ambulance work.
Yeah, but we already paid,
from the county.
But we already paid $900 of it.
Sure.
Okay, now let me look at the other way for a second, Jeff. What if we just said, nah, Castle Rock's not going to do it anymore, you guys can do it. And so now, instead of coming up with 380, you can come up with 1,380,000.
True, and I don't know what the taxpayers would say.
At some point, it would seem to me that $1 million has to be credited into the formula.
Absolutely, but again,
What happens if you do a countywide ambulance district? Then those people in school district number two are going to—you're double dipping them.
Well, that depends on how you look at it. That would be up to Bailey and the hospital board over there to decide what are they going to do with that extra funding they have now. Are they going to add an extra pediatrician? Will they add an extra service over there? It's not as though the money will go away. It will be spent. It'll be spent wisely. They do a good job. And so while it's being allocated for ambulance right now, that doesn't mean that that money will stop. There's tax that's set up just for the hospital district, and how that's allocated in the hospital district is up to Bailey and to the board of how that's spent.
I understand that, but as long as the board and the hospital district provides the ambulance service as a taxpayer, I'm paying for it.
Mm-hmm. True.
Maybe we need to look at an ambulance district for half the county.
We could. It would. It's really the way to save money. So two things again: revenue. How is it going to get paid for? And then also, where do we make savings? And consolidation seems to be the most common thing that we hear about savings. Reducing duplication of management. We could probably reduce by one ambulance and crew if the two services were together. And so, costing less money overall is the goal. And how can we do that? So if we only do a special district in half of the county, if it's still two services, that can afford us the opportunity that we could have had by consolidating. Not saying that it won't happen. It's certainly something we're looking at with another entity that would take over just the Rock Springs portion for a lesser amount. But that's what we're trying to do. That's my goal is reducing the overall cost and finding an overall sustainable revenue stream for the ambulance service.
But it would seem to me the sustainable revenue stream needs to have some fairness in it. For example, that's just another example. $380,000 was the requested subsidy for Castle Rock. Now, interestingly enough, the hospital transfer business exclusively goes to Sweetwater Medics. In the hospital world, those are the gravy calls. $300,000 contract from the hospital to Sweetwater Medics, of which the Castle Rock service gets zip.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work into this fairness formula?
Yeah, that one is less control of the commissioners. That is a decision made by Sweetwater, or by the hospital, Memorial Hospital, and their board when they do a contract negotiation. So, I don't think that it's fair, and I will certainly push and talk to Irene about, you know, why is that? How come it's only this way? It seems as though there was some years ago that there was a misconception about the services and the training that was provided by Castle Rock, that maybe it wasn't adequate to do these long transports to Salt Lake or elsewhere, and that's why they got left out. And so it needs to be looked at again, absolutely, and reexamined, and whether it's a 50-50, a one-third, two-third, alternating years, something along those lines, I think, is in the mix for the future.
There appear to be numerous moving parts. You've got three government agencies in terms of the county and the two municipalities, with separate minds and separate budgets. You've got a hospital with their own board. You've got a private enterprise, which is a different animal altogether. You've got another quasi-government in a hospital district.
It's convoluted, isn't it? It's a lot.
That's a lot of folks to bring to agreement. I mean, it's just about, it isn't one of those where majority is going to rule. It occurs to me this is going to take everybody's buy-in. And it, you know, somebody's ox might get gored here.
that may be true. My goal is kind of the lead on this, is to bring everyone together and do the best that we can. The ambulance board over with medics right now is a great resource for us, with a couple of fire chiefs and a lot of knowledgeable people over there. It's great, you know, knowledge over the years of how things have worked. That's something we need to tap into as well, to try to figure this out. We'd love to have the cities on board. If financially they don't want to contribute, though, then it really just falls back to us as a commission to take care of it in the county and to figure out what we feel is best.
Statutorily, is anybody responsible?
No one is responsible, and that's kind of a shame. That makes it very difficult. It is not a required service. And while everybody agrees, including myself, that it's necessary, there's no, it's not as though it's in the general fund to be, there's no allocations for it in the general fund.
So legally the commissioners could wash their hands of it.
We could, and some years ago they did. They were not doing any, there was a while when they were doing subsidies, and then they went away from it with a proposal back when Vase and I forgot the other one were in town and doing their thing. And they didn't for some years, but then the county got back into it when commissioners agreed some years ago to start subsidizing again, and it's gotten to us to this point where it just continues to escalate, and that's really why we've had to put a kind of a hard line in the sand and draw that line and say, man, we've got to look at this, and this can't just continue to escalate. We're asking for everybody to cut to 25% to 30% in this coming budget year, when we needed to fund medics by 36% more. You know, so it's totally the opposite way of what we're trying to accomplish, where we're trying to go.
There's probably some other players involved here that I didn't mention. I know in some places we mentioned the hospital. In some communities, the hospitals run the ambulance service. In some communities, the fire department runs the ambulance service. In some communities, it's a company from outside the community that comes in and runs the ambulance service. So there's even some more moving parts.
Yeah, and we did. We sent out an RFI, request for information or interest, and advertised all over the West. And we did have four proposals come back to us. The disappointing part was that all of them were between 1.2 and 1.9 $9 million annual subsidy to do it. So it's not as though anybody's doing it terribly wrong and like, oh, gee, if we just change to this company, they're going to take care of it and it'll cost us $1 million less each year. That's not that everybody wants roughly the same amount. There's some nuances in there with services provided and things, and that's really kind of a disparity.
So what you're saying, Jeff, is that it's common practice to subsidize the ambulance service. It happens all the time. In fact, with these requests you sent out, they just assumed you guys would pay it.
Correct. Yeah. It's it wasn't as though that they were going to pay us anything to do it.
How is it everybody else can pay this and we can't?
Depends on who you look at. I mean, there's in Gillette, the ambulance is run through the hospital. The hospital just eats the loss. And so I was excited to hear about this ambulance service that was doing great financially and looked at it and was like, wow, these guys are, you know, they're making money. But in reality, they bill the hospital, and then the hospital pays them whatever they bill, and then the hospital takes the loss when they get 40% or 60% reimbursement on insurance, or a private pay customer doesn't pay at all. And so the hospital's eating it. So in reality, they are in exactly the same spot. It is just one of those, there's a lot of great things, and I love living in Rock Springs, Sweetwater County. It's awesome. But there are also some drawbacks. We don't have the number of people, the number of calls that are necessary to generate the revenue. Ambulance works well in large cities. They're fighting for calls. You know, there's many ambulance services trying to get there first or go through the rotation and get a call. But that's not the case in smaller rural areas like ours. And that's where our evaluator came from, or that helped us assess. He's in Minnesota running rural ambulance and came to us with the ideas that we have now that we're working through to try to, you know, either a special tax district or maybe the hospital. Fire is difficult because there's kind of a funny one here. You know, we have four fire districts in a really small area, and it doesn't seem like that's really that necessary. So, you know, who gets it? Or, you know, do you put it there and it only covers this area? So consolidating all those and having ambulance with the fire, that seems like it would make a lot of sense, and it's also something that we've talked about as well. None of them are quick, though. That's the thing.
It's a hot potato in that nobody wants it. I mean, the city of Green River was happy to get rid of it and Castle Rock take
it
over. In fact, at this point in talking with the city of Green River, the first thing out of their mouth, I think, is we don't want it back. The hospital doesn't want it. The county doesn't want it. It's like, okay, who's going to get stuck with the short straw here?
Exactly. It really is. And that's where I think we as taxpayers need to step up and say, this is something that we want, we feel is important. And I kind of look at it in something like schools. I'm down to one kid who's going to school. Many people don't have kids going to school. Some people have six going to school. We all pay the same taxes, though, on that because we feel it's necessary and we feel it's important. So same thing. You know, I'm 52, haven't ridden in an ambulance in my life, but the time may come when I need it. I'm going to want it on that day. You know, so that's what we have to look at as a community. Are we willing to support this even though we may not use it? Do we feel like it's necessary? Do we feel like it's important? And how many people have gone how many people go to the museum? We fund the museum or the library. Does every person in the county utilize those resources? They don't. But everybody pays the same taxes for that. And so
except for everybody doesn't pay the same taxes for medical care.
For medical care overall or for...
Well, you know, you talk about consolidation and the examples of political decisions as opposed to those that are practical reign all over this county. I mean,
that's true.
I mean, from water systems to law enforcement to fire department to medical. I mean, it's over and over and over, and they've all been political decisions. And you have to recognize that those are real. I mean, that's the world we live in. But you know. Everybody in the county pays a property tax, and yet there's a group of people in the county that pay extra property tax for for a clinic. Extra property tax, it's going to an ambulance. Extra property tax. So it's not like everybody's paying the same.
That's true. No, I see what you're saying. So, yeah, absolutely. That was going to be my next point, is if the residents decide that this is important and something that is necessary and should be paid for through taxes, which Green River has already said, yes, we believe this is important, then, yes, there would need to be equity, either a lowering of the mill levy on the hospital district or a lesser levy on those who are served and already pay for the Castle Rock Hospital District. But yeah, absolutely, I agree with you, Al, that definitely needs to be taken into account so that it's not double dipping with the folks in Green River. That's, you know, it's not what we want to do. And it would be a decision, I guess, amongst Castle Rock Hospital District whether they would be willing to lower their levy, or whether the levy that would go into place would be lesser. And then we'd have to write, you know, the way that we write the proposal to go on the ballot, that would have to certainly be taken into account. I can't imagine that if we just rolled it out there and said everybody's going to be taxed the same, that sure doesn't sound like it's going to fly to me.
What happens next? The funding is now in place through the end of the fiscal year. What happens next?
Yeah, we continue conversations with finding a solution as a commission on the long term. We await our budget sessions with each Castle Rock and with Sweetwater Medics to see what their proposals are for the long term. I personally feel as though a special district is probably the way to go for the funding. So that's, again, you know, a year and a half away, but there's a lot of deadlines and notices and things along the way that you have to meet. So several parts there. Making sure that there's ambulance service come July 1st. Working with the cities to see if they're able to participate in the funding. And I hope that it's short term. I hope that it is until the election of 22. And, you know, then when we collect taxes in 23, that both the cities and the county could step back from their obligations to it and we can start funding it through a special tax district.
One final question, Jeff. Do you see ambulance service, do you personally see ambulance service in the county continuing after the 1st of July?
100%, yes.
That's what the people want to know.
Yeah, 100%. We no desire for it to go away ever. Nope. How it's funded and how it's run and who runs it, that may change over time, but it'll be there. It will 100% be there.
I want to thank you for joining us this morning. I know you've put a lot of work into this as the representative from the commission, and apparently you have a lot of work ahead of you.
There's still something to do, and Al, I can't wait till we can get back together and I can see you at some fundraisers wearing your red tie and tuxedo again. So
I can't wait to get back to that.
Yeah, we got to get back to those days. They were fun, so I look forward to seeing you out there again.
Jeff, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Do it again sometime.
All right, got it. Jeff Smith, County Commissioner, my guest this morning on today's edition of Let's Talk. And again, funding has been extended through the end of the fiscal year, June 30th. And as you heard the commissioner say, he's very confident that ambulance service will continue after that. That's a wrap on this morning. Thanks for joining us. We're 15 away from 11. This is KUGR Green River Rock Springs, part of the radio network.